One of the incredible blessings that I've had in my life is that I spent 9 years learning every day with my father, Bechavrusa. And in doing so, obviously, there are many wonderful things in doing that. But there were certain questions that I heard people ask him every single year without fail. At a certain time of year, people would ask the same questions. So at this time of year, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Yom Noraim, I could almost bet that every year the same questions would be asked. And one of those questions was, well, I daven in a certain shul, and I was the chazan in the shul for the last 25 years, and now the shul has a new membership, and now they decided that I'm no longer in tune with what the membership wants, and they don't want me to be the chazan anymore, in case anyone's ever heard of such stories. And this was a question that came up every single year without fail, in different variations, but basically the same question: what exactly is the responsibility of a community toward the chazan, or the Baal Tokeya, or anybody who has a position to do something of leadership in the shul, and what perhaps is not part of that obligation? So we really begin with one of the Rishonim who discusses such a scenario. The Mordechai in Maseches Baba Basra talks about the following. Nishal Rabbeinu Meir. He says Rabbeinu Meir was asked, Adam shehechzik b'mitzvah. You have a person who paid money in order to be able to perform a certain mitzvah, such as kegon b'glila o b'sefer Torah. He says they used to sell glila for the year. So somebody would put up a certain amount of money, my opportunity to do glila for the entire year. Now, iru ones o oni. Now something happens. I paid money that this mitzvah should be mine. Now something happens unexpectedly, either a physical ailment or a monetary issue, and I'm no longer able to pay to perform the mitzvah, or I'm no longer able to do it while I'm not well. V'nasnu akahalas ha-mitzvah la'acher. Now, in the interim period, we don't assume that nobody's going to do glila. We have to give it to someone. So we gave it away to someone else. So now for 6 months, there's somebody else doing glila. Va'achar kacha, now avar ha'ones v'heshir. Now, whatever the problem was, is no longer applicable, is no longer an issue. And now I'm feeling fine, or now I have money again, and now I'm once again able to perform the mitzvah that I wanted to do. And I come back to shul, and I see that someone else is doing it. So I go to the gabbai, and I say, excuse me, I was the one who paid for this. I want to be able to do it again. And the question is, do I have the right to demand that they get rid of the person who was filling in and now give me back my spot that I always had? That's the question that was asked to Rabbeinu Meir. So he writes that the answer is, Nira shechozer lemitzvaso. The answer is that we have a concept called chazaka b'mitzvos. We have a concept called, if you are the one who had the opportunity to perform the mitzvah for a certain period of time, you now have the opportunity to continue to perform that mitzvah. And even if somebody else went in your stay for an interim period, we can now give it back to you, and we have every right to say that person has to stop doing what it is that they're doing. How do we know this is true? Because we have a Gemara in Maseches Yuma, Daf Yubei. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma that they used to make all kinds of preparations for the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur. And they would separate him for 7 days, and they would make sure he didn't come in contact with any dead bodies, and he would separate from his wife so that he wouldn't become Tameh. He would do all kinds of precautionary measures to make sure that he was pure and holy to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. Now what happens? He's ready to go. Erev Yom Kippur, something goes wrong, and now he's unfit to perform the Avodah. So what do? We're not going to just forget about Yom Kippur. But at the same time, we can't have this Kohen Gadol do the Avodah on Yom Kippur because he is not fit, he is not worthy. So the answer is, says the Gemara, we have a skan. We have somebody else who stands in his place. And now that person becomes elevated to become the Kohen Gadol, and he's the one who's going to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. Now what happens after Yom Kippur? Now Yom Kippur's over, and now my problem is gone, and now I'm ready to serve again in the Beis HaMikdash. Problem is, now we have two Kohen Gadols. This one says, well, I filled in for Yom Kippur, therefore I have the right to continue. The first one says, no, you were just a fill-in. You were only the assistant rabbi. You weren't really the one who was supposed to take over. I didn't really give you the job. It was just for the interim period when I was unfit, when I was unable to do what I was supposed to do. So what is the halacha? The Gemara says the answer is, you still bring back the first one to do his job. Now that his problem has gone away, we can now reinstate him as the Kohen Gadol once again, and he who filled in the interim period has to take a back seat. What does it mean to take a back seat, says the Gemara? Well, he can't become a regular Kohen again because Malam HaKodesh V'lo Maridin. He already tasted the taste of greatness. So we can't have him be demoted to be a regular Kohen. So now he's somewhat in limbo until something else happens. But the basic halacha is that we allow the first Kohen Gadol to take his position back once again, because really we consider it to be his position, and the older one just stood in the interim period and was not able to take the job. So the Gemara says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, who says that we put back the first Kohen Gadol. Tosis asks a question, what do you mean the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi? Hilchasala Mashicha? It's an irrelevant halacha. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash now. It's an irrelevant point. Which Kohen Gadol gets to serve? What's the difference? We don't have a Kohen Gadol now. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have any Avodah. Why is it relevant that the Gemara tells us the halacha is that the first Kohen Gadol takes his job back? Of course he takes his first job back. What does it have any relevance to us? So answers Tosis, no. Yesh lomar de'ika nafka mina af bizman hazeh. It makes a difference even today. When does it make a difference? For example, parnes hamamuna ala tzibur, if you have somebody who's in a position of leadership, she'iru ones va'avar, that something went wrong along the way, you have somebody who's the gabbai, the minion, and now, for whatever reason, he's in the hospital for 2-3 months, now that he comes back, he wants his job back. So, does he get to take the job back, or do we say whoever filled in the interim is the one who now becomes the new gabbai? That's the question. So, the Mordechai answers that you see from this Gemara in Maseches Yuma, the same way when a Kohen Gadol becomes unfit at some point in his leadership, we say that once he's ready once again, he could take back the job. So too, anyone who has such a circumstance, any scenario that arises of that type, we assume that you have the right to take the job back once you are ready. This scenario is recorded twice in Halach and Shulchan Aruch. Once in Chosha Mishpat, the Ramah has it in Chosha Mishpat, Simen Kuf Mem Tes, and then once again, the Shulchan Aruch quotes it LaHalacha in Arachayim. So the Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. I'm only reading from the Shulchan Aruch because he gives a little bit more detail than the Ramah. So he says, Adam Shehuragel B'Shum Mitzvah. You have somebody who is accustomed to perform a mitzvah, kagon glila. I bought glila for myself for the year, and I'm the one who's doing it every single time we have laning. V'yiru ones, and something happens, v'nasnu akahal ha-mitzvah la'acher, and now they hand it off to somebody else in the interim period when I'm not able to do it. And then I have the ability to come back again. So now the Shulchan Aruch fleshes it out, and he says the following. Im b'shash ha-nasnu akahal ha-mitzvah la'sheni. If at the time that the congregation gave over the mitzvah to somebody else, look, every year we do some sort of raffle, some sort of bidding, and we say whoever wants to pay for glila can pay for it. So you were there at the time of the raffle. You had the ability to put up the money. You had the ability to bid. You chose not to. Somebody else won. So that's your problem. You don't have a chazaka to do the mitzvah if you didn't put in the bid that you had the equal ability as everybody else to do. However, if for whatever reason you were not available at that time, you were at a meeting, or you were not well, or you weren't able to make it, and now you come back later and you see somebody else got it, that, says the Shulchan Aruch, is the only time you have a right to say, I have a chazaka and it really belongs to me, and you can reclaim the mitzvah that you've always been performing. So the Mishnah Bura in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah quotes this la'alach, and he says, also this is something that we find in the Rashba, where the Rashba writes in a tshuva, chazan, if you have a chazan, who always has been serving as the chazan in this community, ein misalka nosar, you're not allowed to get rid of him, ela im nimtza bo pisil, unless we find something wrong with him, either morally or ethically, or he just doesn't have a good voice anymore. So whatever the reason might be, that's the only time we have a right to get rid of the chazan. But just because we have new members that now decided that somebody else wants to be the chazan, that's where we say we have this rule of chazaka by mitzvahs. I'm happy that we have the chazan to discuss the issue. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah extrapolates from there as well, and he says, well, if you have somebody who is the chazan, or you have somebody who is serving as the Baal Tokeah for many years, we assume that person has the right, unless something goes wrong, that person has the right to go and to perform that mitzvah once again. I know that every time this question was raised to my father, and I was there, my father always said the same thing. He said he doesn't really understand how the question gets off the ground. And the reason for his saying that is as follows. He said that the most fundamental aspect of being a chazan or a baal tokeah or a gabbai or anything of communal leadership is that the community has to want you. You have to be merutza lakal. If it comes to a point, for whatever reason, that you are no longer merutza lakal, it means you cannot do that job. Doesn't matter that you still have the beautiful voice that you always had. Doesn't matter that you've been doing it for 25 years. If you're in a position where the community has changed so much that they no longer want you to be their representative, there's nothing to discuss. That's what my father told me every time this question was discussed. And I remember once there was a question about a rabbi who was let go from his shul. And he said, what do you mean? I have a contract and I'm allowed to stay there for as long as I want. So I remember my father made a comment to me. He said, what do you mean you're allowed to stay there as long as you want? If your community is not listening to you, if your community is not learning anything from you, if they're not being inspired by you, what's the discussion? You're going to force yourself upon them? You have to be merutza lakal. That's first and foremost before you discuss anything else. the first thing that we need to establish is that you are somebody who the community wants to be presiding over them. If the community doesn't want you as the chazan or the rabbi or the baal tekeh or the gabbai, you have no right to do that. But we're talking about a case where that's not the issue. We're talking about a case, let's say, where it's just the politics. You are a perfect chazan, and most people in the shul do want you. The question is, there's another chazan who decides they want to bump you off, they want to be the chazan. So that's the place where the Shulchan Aruch says, you have every right to claim a chazakah and say, this has been my job for X amount of time, and therefore I have a right to continue in my job and not to give it up to someone else. The Elya Rabba extends this to other issues as well. And the Elya Rabba writes that he remembers that there was a question that came up when the Ololos Ephraim, Rabbeinu Ephraim was a great tzaddik, and the Ololos Ephraim, one of the Achronim, passed away, and all of his Talmidim felt that they have the right to be involved in his Tahara and in his burial. They have the right to be involved in all the aspects of his Levaya. And the local Chever Kadisha said, where do you guys come from? We're the people who are designated every time someone passes away to perform this mitzvah. We wouldn't give it up for anything. It doesn't matter who the person is that passed away. It doesn't matter how many Talmidim they have. We're the ones who have the right to do the mitzvah because this is something we do every time we go through such a calamity in the neighborhood. So who has the right of way? Do we say that the regular Chever Kadisha that performs the mitzvah every time has the right of way because that's a chazakah in a mitzvah? They are the ones who are designated to do it every time. Or do you say perhaps when you have a great tzaddik who passes away, maybe the first ones to have the right to perform the mitzvah might be his talmidim? And there they said, they sent the shaila to the shala, to Rabbi Yeshaya, the shala, and the shala wrote back that really me'ikar adin lechever kadisha has the right. That's the regular halacha of chazakah b'mitzvahs. The same way that a chazan and a baal tekeah and a rabbi and anybody else has the right to stay there and nobody else can come and bump them off, so too over here we assume the chever kadisha has the right to stay. And there are many, many different applications of this. There is a major discussion in the Achronim, how many times do you have to do something in order to establish yourself as the one who does it. So the Prima Gadim writes, maybe if you do it 3 years in a row, that's considered to be, you are now the chazan of the shul. So you daven 3 years Yom Naram in a row, then we assume you are the person who is designated as the chazan and no one can bump you off. Other Achronim say, maybe it's even one time. Once you show that you are the one who was designated by the community and you are the one who everybody wanted, that means now the job is yours and there's no right for the community to get rid of you. I remember when I was asked the first time in YU to daven for the Yamadan Rosh Hashanah, they were concerned about anybody feeling that the Amud is theirs, and Rabbi Penner, who asked me to daven, told me that I want you to know, we'd like you to daven for the Amud this year on Rosh Hashanah, that was 10 years ago, and he said to me, you should know there is no chazakah. This doesn't belong to you. If next year we decide that somebody else is going to get it, it's not yours. And that was the way it went. Every year he asked me for 7 years, I daven for the Amud in YU. And every year he asked me again, a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah, would I be willing to daven? And I said yes. And every year he said the same speech. This is not a chazakah, it doesn't belong to you. When we're ready to have someone else, we're going to give it to someone else, which was okay. That was the understanding. So this is very unclear how many times you need to do something in order to establish a chazakah for yourself. But in the interest of time, let's just close with the following. Rabbi Kiva Eger points us to the fact that there is one place in Shulchan Aruch that seems to indicate the opposite. As much as we find that I have the right to have a chazakah for something that I'm doing, for a mitzvah that I'm involved in, the Ramah writes in Yeredeya something that should be a little bit surprising. And he says, Rav HaYoshev Ba'ir V'Lomed L'Rabim. If you have a rabbi in a community who is doing what a rabbi is supposed to do, Yachol Chacham Acher Lavo, you're allowed to have another rabbi move into the city, Ula Lamed Gam Kein Sham. So I'm giving a shiur 2:30 every day before Mincha. Somebody else wants to move next door, do the same thing, he has every right, says the Ramah. I can't stop him. Even though it's going to get everybody to stop coming here and to go over there, says the Ramah, that's his choice. He has a right to do that. Afilu, even though it means that it's going to damage my parnasa, even though it means my shul is going to think I'm not worth anything anymore because now everybody can go next door and get the same service. And therefore, the Ramah says there would be no problem at all, and the second person has every right to come and move in. So ask Rabbi Kiva Eger, why don't you say that I have a chazakah in the mitzvah? I haven't done anything wrong. I'm performing my job the way I'm supposed to. I was the one designated to be doing this job in this community, and now it turns out that somebody else came and took the job away from me. Shouldn't that be the same as somebody who comes and tells a chazan they can't be the chazan, or tells a baal tekeah they can't be the baal tekeah? Why should there be any difference between the rabbi who has competition and the chazan who has competition, or the baal tekeah who has competition? So this is a major issue discussed in the Achronim, and it's not clear what exactly the answer is. There are some who answer the following. Rabbi Kiva Eger gives the answer and he says, it depends what kind of mitzvah we're talking about. Until now we've been discussing a mitzvah that I paid to have the schus to do. For example, the Shulchan Aruch gave the case of somebody who paid to have the opportunity to perform the mitzvah of glila for the entire year. That's where we say it's my chazaka. I'm the one who has first rights to it. If somebody else wants to come and take it away, they don't have the right to do that. However, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, when we're talking about something where you need minui hatzibur, you need that the community should have a consensus that this person should have this job. Let's say we all have to get together and say, this person should be our rabbi, right? So if the community votes with their feet and say, well, we no longer want this person to be our rabbi, we now can have somebody else be the rabbi. So in a case like that, there's room to distinguish, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, whether or not the person still has the right to say, I have a chazaka and I'm allowed to keep my job and no one else is allowed to come and encroach on my territory, and when perhaps we might not. That is a very sticky and obviously a very sensitive issue that comes up, and it's not clear at all how we draw the guidelines. When do we say that in fact a person has a chazaka to continue doing the mitzvah that they always have been doing? And first of all, what establishes a chazaka? Is it 3 years? Is it 1 year? Is it one time? And not only that, in which cases do we assume, like the second Ramah, which is seeming to teach us, that there are some circumstances where a person can say, look, you have the job, but if the community votes with their feet and they decide they want somebody else and they feel somebody else would do the job differently than you're doing it and better than you're doing it, they have every right to do that, and there's no way for you to claim that this was your place and the other person has taken away the chazaka of your involvement in a mitzvah that you were doing. So this is a very important issue. If you look in this Tehemet, he has about 30, 40 pages discussing all the parameters of this issue by chazaka b'mitzvahs, and when do we say it goes over to a child? Let's say a chazan passes away. Do we assume that his son has the right to do it? Do we assume that his children have the right to take over? What if his child is a young child and now the only people who want to fill in are adults? Do we say that he's just on hiatus until the young child becomes an adult? These are all very important issues, but as we mentioned, this is something that comes up every year before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because people take this issue very, very seriously, very much to heart, and very sensitively, and it's something we should be very careful to think about as we're choosing the various positions that are necessary to have a successful season of Yom Ha'anurim. We have to keep in mind that the Shulchan Aruch does say that we do have such a concept as chazaka b'mitzvahs, but as we mentioned, that only applies in a situation where a person is established as merutzeh lakol. If the person is not at all somebody who the tzibur wants representing them, then this whole question doesn't even get off the ground.